Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. I just want to let you know, help is on the way. Today, my guest is candidate Nolan Rivera for Cook County Sheriff 2022. Nolan has been a lifelong police servant and a law enforcement practitioner, celebrating his 27th year with the Chicago Police Department, the nation's second largest police agency. But I'm not going to speak more about him. I'm going to let him speak for himself because he is a candidate. So please welcome candidate Nolan Rivera, who is running for Cook County Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning, Maureen. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Hey, thank you for coming on. I know your schedule is busy. It's election season, and we're coming up to early voting. But I want to welcome you. It's just our board is still, we have callers that are tuning in from Cincinnati, Kansas, Oklahoma, Washington, and Chicago, of course. Yes, so I just want to welcome you. And tell us a little bit more about yourself and why you want to run for this seat.
Sure, absolutely. Well, as you stated, I'm a 33-year combat veteran with the Army and the Air Force. I'm going on my 28th year with the Chicago Police Department as a sergeant. I've been on the streets. I've seen tragedy, and I've walked those streets and gone through those dark alleys. So I know a little bit about what I'm talking about there. I was a United States Federal Air Marshal. I'm a graduate of four police academies. I have my master's from the University of Chicago in Threat and Response Management, which ironically handles how to deal with all hazards, including pandemics. I teach as a professor, adjunct professor at Triton College, and I'm a father of five. We are now a Gold Star family member, a family. My wife, Sheila, was the first Cook County Corrections Officer to die in the line of duty of COVID in 2020. So my entering the race was very deliberate and well thought out. It's not something I just jumped into. Of course, there's a personal issue in it because of my wife. You know, as a spouse, you always live your spouse's job. So I always heard of the horrible things that were going on at the county. She worked at the jail. But also the fact that I have the professional background for the office, and lastly, I just couldn't turn my back. I just couldn't turn my back on the community. I've been serving since I was 18, and I just couldn't turn my back.
Now you're still on the force. What district are you in?
I currently teach at the academy. I'm an instructor. I'm a certified Illinois police instructor, FBI instructor, CPD instructor, and I run the driving school, which is a challenge with the new recruits. And I used to run all the outlying gun ranges for the department.
Okay. Yeah. So when is the upcoming graduation? Because one of our police officers left, and she's in the academy now.
I don't know the exact date because sometimes they change. I can look for you and get that answer to you.
Oh, I'll get it from my police chief because we plan to be there for her graduation. But
okay.
You know what? It's a lot of drama going on, not just in the Cook County Jail. And I want people to understand the Cook County sheriff position that you're seeking for is not just for Cook County Jail here in Chicago, but for Cook County, period. But some of the focus that we, as some of the citizens here in Chicago, we focus in on just Cook County Jail and the conditions. And I also want to offer my condolences to you and the passing of your wife, because I read that story about issues. And we've had a lot of people protesting on the conditions of Cook County Jail. So once you become, and we had to go ahead and put it out there and claim it, once you become the next Cook County Sheriff, what are some of the changes that you see that can happen in that facility? Because it's just like there's a whole lot of low offenders that probably don't even need to be in there. There are people that have been in there for 5 years. Cook County Jail, I'm speaking of, in Chicago, Cook County, that have been sitting in there waiting for a jury trial, like going on 5 years.
Yes,
I agree.
I've heard some of these stories about people being in there way too long, it sounds to me. Of course, I don't know the cases, so I would obviously have to know the cases. However, that seems an extraordinary amount of time, especially if it's a low-level offense. And real quickly, I'll touch in on the mission of the Cook County Sheriff's Office or any sheriff's office. Like you said, they're not just a jail. They also run the sheriff's police. They do civil process. They protect the courts and the judges. So there's a lot more to the sheriff's office, which I was surprised when I went out here and talked to people that they actually didn't know. And all they thought was that they just ran the jail. So now the thing with individuals that are at the jail, ultimately, it comes down to the judges, the prosecutor, uh-huh. and the defense. They have to move those cases along. The sheriff's office is charged with the humane treatment and care and dignity of those individuals placed in our charge. So that is a really difficult issue because the sheriff does not necessarily have an influence on how long a person stays there, because the person is there because the judge and the courts and the prosecutors and the defense attorneys have a direct impact on that. I can certainly and would be willing to establish a tracking system where we look at people that have been there an extraordinary amount of time and maybe re-engage with these with the other parts of the system, and maybe remind them, hey, you know what, this person's been here quite a while. Did we forget about them? I don't think that's something that we should tolerate if somebody's, especially if it's a low level offense.
Well, I am happy to hear that you mentioned the fact that you would look into having a tracking system. We had a personal situation of sex trafficking murder. And the young man stayed there for 5 years and was just given 39 years, because he was waiting for a jury
right.
trial. So I like that idea, that suggestion that you have. I have a question here from Tommy from Chicago. He wants to know, what is the total custodial population in the jail?
Well, as of a couple of days ago, the total in custody that's behind the wall population was 5,545. Of course, it fluctuates day by day. The outside population, which would include the electronic monitoring, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500. Again, it depends on, you know, it fluctuates. So you have a total of about 7,800, 900 individuals that are in some form or fashion in the custody of the sheriff's office.
Now, those electronic monitoring, now I know it depends on the court cases. How long, how long do they have to wear those? It depends on the sentencing, the judging from the court.
Yes. Again, the sheriff's office, of course, enforces the judge's orders. So, I want to really just hit on that because I want your listeners to understand that it's not the sheriff's office that is placing these restrictions on these individuals. It comes from the courts once they've had their day in court, and we are charged with carrying out those orders. Now, I've seen some where they've been on electronic monitoring for up to 5 or 6 years. So, they could be on there for quite a while. Some are very short. Some are obviously a very long time.
And you know what? I'm so glad that you are on because so many people really think that the Cook County Sheriff is in charge of everything to go inside, the judge and the jury and everything else. So I'm glad that you are clarifying this. I have another question here from Shannon. Shannon is from Chatham. She wants to know, once you are elected, how will you make a difference for the mentally ill in the Cook County Jail?
Oh, that's a great question. I get that question a lot. The first thing is, again, we have to go back to the mission of the sheriff's office. My goal is to ensure that anyone that we identify as having a mental issues, their stay with us is a first step. We are not the final step. That is, we can be the first step in their recovery, whether it's drugs or mental issues. Some of the things that need to happen, like mental health, long-term mental health and drug rehabilitation, have to happen with agencies that are better suited than the sheriff's office. We can be a first step because, again, the population is always in flux. You can't always establish a good, solid base for everyone. But we can be a first step and get them in the right direction.
Yeah, I was reading, you know, whereas, you know, Chicago being the largest Cook County facility, the jail has become basically a warehouse. You know, there's almost, 2,000 to 3,000 people with mental illness that are housed in the Cook County Jail. You know, it's so much stuff that has to be done. And we're all looking around saying, who can we point fingers to, you know?
Sure.
But we have to be very selective and educated on our voting. You know, we can't vote for Sam because his mother baked the best cake or she was a candy lady in the neighborhood or Sam grew up in the neighborhood, so we're going to support Sam, but not realize that Sam was a pain in the ass and a bully growing up. So we have to really make things, we have to be educated on, our vote is our voice. So we have to make sure we put people in office. Because the taxpayers are spending buku money on these low-level crime people, like the lady who had stolen 2 plums and some candy bars. And she stayed, I think I read she had stayed in jail for 135 days, and it cost the jail $19,000. That's a paycheck for somebody. But the taxpayers are paying that, you know?
Yes. Yes, I completely agree. Your vote is, as a population has been taken advantage of, I think. The sheriff's office cannot do it alone. We need the county board, the county board president. We need the prosecutors, the public defender. Everyone has to get involved. We can't go back into our corners and just cross our arms and say we're not going to play because you're not popular. We're suffering from symbolism over substance, and we need substance. We need solutions. We don't need little headlines or hashtags or things like that. We need real solid solutions. And your listeners really have to come to a point where, and I ask, have you had enough? What is enough for you to make a change and make a difference? Because crime isn't just knocking at your door, it's trying to knock it down. And my own son, who was who's 20, he was a victim of attempted carjacking not long ago. So, you know, I have five children, and I worry about them every time they go out the door. So, you know, it's not just whether you're rich or poor. It's going to come and touch you, and if we're not careful, we're going to end up like like Seattle, where the crime is just rampant, and it's a sad situation there.
And and people have to understand, this past Friday, I was a nervous wreck coming home from work. I filmed at 7400 North Rogers Avenue, and we were released about 9:30. But coming home, mm-hmm. and I ended up on State Street, it was so many police cars, so many people. I didn't know what was happening. I was just trying to get to the expressway. But you're driving with your head on the swivel. Not only do you have to watch who's on the right and left, but also in front of you. It's just, what do we do? You know, and we all mm-hmm. have to work, but this crime has to be dealt with. Here's another question from Floyd. Floyd is out of Chicago also. West Side Floyd, he is called. He wants to know, with the increase of violence here in Chicago, and with, he says, I see the Chicago police, I see the Cook County cars on the expressways and on the side streets. Do you think it's time to call in the National Guard, because the weather is about to get hotter?
Sure, yeah. Well, I have a little advantage. I've been in the military for 33 years, and I've been in quite a bit of leadership throughout that time. When I worked in Washington, D.C. as a police officer in the early 90s, and the National Guard was called in. Now, here again, symbolism over substance, it makes a good headline. However, the National Guard is limited on their law enforcement abilities to enforce law enforcement. They are excellent for support roles, but don't look for them to be out there making arrests necessarily. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a good headline. However, their role would be limited. Now, one of the things that I've been talking to a bunch of the leaders in law enforcement recently is how to deal with these crowds in downtown. And one of the things that needs to happen is that we need a tiered response. I don't speak for Chicago Police Department, so I want to put that out there right now. I don't speak for them. This is my own point of view, is that we need a good tiered response, and it needs to be established now. And we can use the National Guard as transportation officers with military police units. Of course, those transportation buses or prisoner vans would need a civilian like a sheriff to accompany them. So their role is best suited in support and those kinds of things.
And back in the day when I was a kid, and this is way back in the day, we had curfews. If you were out back in the day when I grew up, and if you were out past curfews, the paddy wagon, not a little car, but the paddy wagon, the huge paddy wagon like the Amazon truck, will come and pick you up. They will come you up, and, you know, they weren't taking you home. You know, and I know they still have those large vehicles, because I do the television show Chicago PD, and we have used them. So they need to bring that big paddy wagon back out and pick these kids and make the parents. You know, I don't want to hear the excuse. Now I'm a single parent of two professional daughters. One is an elected official in Calumet City. She's an older woman, and the other one's a registered nurse. But the bottom line is, they still had two parents, whether we were, even though we were divorced, they still had two parents. So you pick these kids up, and you would make, you go pick up the mama, and then you go find whoever that dad be daddy or dad be mommy is, and bring them both into court. Something has to be done. We're coming to the last
right.
day.
I agree. When you mentioned that, I remember running home as fast as I could because I knew I was past curfew, and I actually was in at the maybe half a block from my home, and I got stopped by a car, and they still brought me home half a block away. And that's what policing used to be. They did take you home, and you know, I was more afraid of getting home brought by the police than anything else, because I knew what was coming. Unfortunately, these days that is not the case. There is a lack of respect, and basically a lack of respect of the police and the curfew laws. Unfortunately, we are, I think, conditioning our city and county to fear large crowds of young black teenagers, and that's a sad situation. Just like you said, you know, when you're driving down State Street and you're looking, you know, you're in fear, and that's not a good thing. You're in fear. Again, the solutions that that have been put out by the city are blanket solutions to individual problems. We need some common sense here. We're not going to have mass arrests or detaining of youth just to take them home. We have to be very strategic, target the troublemakers, get them out of the situation, as well as adults, and target them, get them out of the situation so that the situation starts to calm down. We need the violence interrupters. There's some very good results coming out of Ready Chicago that I've been listening to. So long answer, sorry.
Well, you know what? I want to go back to the comment you just made about being afraid of black youth. As I look at, because I do media and I write for a newspaper, being out there in the street, the youth are not all black. They're black and brown, and there's some sprinkled whites in there, you know. So
right.
I just want the people to realize the people at the Bean, they were not all black youth. They were Hispanic.
Right.
There were white girls there. There were white young men there. But the media showed the black youth. You know, it's
correct.
Youth,
correct.
Period.
You're correct.
Black, white, brown, green. I'm a retired bilingual teacher in Gage Park. And, I mean, I would go to court all the time to fight for my brown students, you know.
Sure.
It just made no sense. I mean, some of them were being harassed because English was not the first language. And so understand. I mean, the police even pulled me over and asked me, why don't you speak English? Why don't you go back to Mexico? Then what I had to tell them, I want to tell them I'm on the radio. But I'm a black woman. I spoke Polish. Right. And I end up being fluent in Spanish. But the bottom line is the youth that are outside are not all black. They're black, brown.
No, you're correct.
Black Lives Matter is a diverse group. You know, so we need to. And I'm looking forward to bringing you back on. I want to talk to you about having a meeting with some of the street leaders who have the power. And that's going to have to be a sit-down meeting, a table meeting, because there are street leaders that can aid in helping you and what you do. And we have met with some of the police chiefs, you know, police in the area, Chicago area, because this violence has to stop. It has to stop.
Right.
But know what? This half an hour was not enough time. Because I'm so fired up over you. It's unbelievable. So
thank
tell
you.
Us what's the punch number and what can we do to help you?
Sure. My webpage is Rivera4Sheriff.com, and it's Rivera, the number 4, sheriff.com. My punch number is 106. You can get on my webpage, donate, volunteer. Anything that you can do is appreciated. Even if it's a dollar, it's appreciated. It's a really grassroots kitchen table campaign. Like I said, I've been out there on the streets. I know the hardships that everybody goes through. I've suffered myself, my family, I'm gaining strength from it, and I want to put it in the right place. And then when we do have an opportunity to actually sit down, I'd like to talk to you about my hybrid Citizens Academy. It's kind of like a boot camp, but it's something that's more innovative. So, but I really appreciate your time. You've been very gracious, and thank you to your audience too.
I want to thank you too, because you have so much information, and it's so much that you are doing that we need to seriously have a, you know, we talk about gangs, but there are gang leaders which have gone that route, but now they are educators. They are controlling the streets. And, you know, if I could arrange, I would like to sit down with you and maybe 5 or 10 of these men and women to see what we can do to correlate a difference, because it's time for change. And as you say, you are the help, and help is on the way.
Thank you so much. you're so kind. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's from the streets to the suites. That's what we have to do. So it has been a pleasure talking with you. And again, I will have you back on again. Everyone, you've been listening to In the Know with Mo, with my guest, Nolan Rivera, who is a candidate for Cook County Sheriff. And he will be back on. And until then, stay focused. Like be blessed. Thank you, Nolan.
Thank you.
So may I say to each of you most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss, this is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of people too. People who smile at you, and each time I roam Chicago.